Well, good morning. Thanks for joining us again today. And as we come around God's word, we want to commit ourselves in a word of prayer. Lord, as we hear from your word today, again, we want to commit ourselves to it. We thank you for the truth contained in your word, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that as we hear the truth out of your word again today, that you would encourage us and you would help us to be submitted to it in every way. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk today a little bit about God's leading. One of the tasks of a pastor is to try and lead the congregation, and I'm often waiting upon the Lord to find out where we need to be going next, what we need to be doing next, not only in the congregation, life of the congregation, but in my own life as well. And a passage I was drawn to is the passage in Acts chapter 20, where the Apostle Paul was led to go to Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 15, he had been sent out by the church in a missionary journey after the Council of Jerusalem, to share the news of the council. And he had traveled around much of Asia Minor, and now in Acts chapter 20, he was determined to go back to Jerusalem. He had collected some money on his journey, and he wanted to deliver it to the church in Jerusalem and to be a blessing to the church in Jerusalem. And it's a long passage, Acts chapter 20, verses 16 to 38. I'm not going to read it just for the sake of time, but I will be reading some of the verses as we go through the passage. As we look at Paul's life, as he waited upon the Lord, we find some wonderful examples of how Paul was led by the Spirit. And folk, we need to be willing to do the same. There were times when he was led by visions, whatever the case, but friends, we need to be ready to be led by the Spirit. As we think about this passage in Acts chapter 20, I want you to notice, first of all, Paul's resolve to follow God's leading. In Acts chapter 20, verses 19, Paul says, "I serve the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." Folk, when we are led, it's because we have been led in the past. Paul, friends, could easily follow the leading of God because he had been following it all of his lives. He didn't kind of it didn't wasn't surprised when God led him to do things. He was waiting for God to lead. Folk, when we've given everything, friends, God's people should never hold back. When you're wanting to do the will of God, friends, you should always be willing to give of your all. When David faced the Goliath, he was just a young man. He couldn't even fit into Saul's uniform. Yet he was facing a man much, much bigger than Saul. Friends, leading flows out of what we've done in the past. Our resolve to follow God, friends, should be a habit for us. Shouldn't be something that we kind of just think about at this point in time. We should always be looking for where God is leading us. We should always be learning lessons from what God has taught us up until this point in time. When Paul resolved to follow God's leading, he had been doing that all of his life. He was now in Acts chapter 20, coming towards the end of his life. And now, as he was waiting upon God to lead him, friends, he knew the voice of God. He listened to it. He wanted to hear from it. But friends, he not only followed God because of what he did in the past, he followed God because what he was doing in the present. Friends, Paul sensed when God was speaking into his heart and his life. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 22, it says, "Now I'm compelled by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me." Folk, this is a man who was determined to follow God. Even although the future did not look bleak, after Jerusalem he would be arrested and kind of sent to Rome from there, and eventually in Rome he would meet his end. But friends, when Paul heard from God, he was ready to go. And so as we resolve to follow God's leading, friend, let me ask you, have you been led by God up until now? Are you allowing God to work in your life? Have you followed his leading, or have you kind of just chosen your own way up until this point in time? And where's God, you know, how's he working in your life at the moment? Friend, the future may not look bleak. The future may look bleak, but if God's leading you to go wherever he wants you to go, friend, are you ready to do that? God's leading. Paul was resolved to follow God's leading. But why was Paul resolved? Well, secondly, I want just to look at the reasons why Paul followed God's leading. In verse 24, Paul says, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel, to God's grace." He uses a number of different illustrations here, friends, of the kind of reasons why he followed God. Well, first of all, he kind of likens himself to an accountant. He talks about, "I consider my life worth nothing to me." He had a surrendered life. Paul simply wanted to finish the work that God had given to him. He knew that God already planned his steps. He wasn't worried about where God was leading him, friends, because his life was surrendered to God. It wasn't something that he had to debate. It wasn't something he had to think about. He had surrendered himself to God on the road to Damascus. He had committed himself to follow what God had in store for him. But he didn't only have a surrendered life. He had a focused life. One of the illustrations Paul uses often of himself is of an athlete. Paul kind of reminded of the importance of us running the race. In that verse we read, Paul says, "I want that I may finish the race." In Hebrews chapter 12, we are reminded that therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Friend, who are you running to please? The book of Hebrews and the Apostle Paul reminds us that we're running a race only to please one person, that's Jesus Christ. We don't ever need to try and please anybody else. I've often said at the church where I've pastored, it's not the church who I work for. I work for God. I work for Jesus. He's the one who leads and guides. Of course, I'm surrendered and accountable to the church that has called me and offers me a salary. But friends, I don't work for the church. I work for Jesus. And we need to be the same. We need to live a focused life. Or is everything we're doing seeking to please Jesus Christ? But Paul doesn't only live the life of a surrendered life, making his life worthless, counting his life as worth nothing, and a focused life that he is running like an athlete. He also wants to live a meaningful life. Friends, he says in that verse 24, I want to complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. How quickly we give up in doing things. Friends, Paul wanted to continue to preach the life-changing message of the gospel of grace. He knew he was preaching a perfect message. Listen to what he says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Friends, are we living a surrendered life? Have we given it all to God for Him to determine what and how we should live? Are we living a focused life? Are we living in such a way that we want to please God? Are we living a meaningful life? I don't know how one can get caught up in sin and live a meaningful life. Friend, are you ashamed of the gospel? I've seen the gospel change people's lives in such wonderful ways, friends, that, you know, we need to remember that. How could Paul follow God's example? Well, he resolved to follow it. He has reasons to follow it. But friends, the third thing Paul did as he followed God's leading was he rested in following God's leading. Friend, he rested in that surrendered life. Paul was not moved by what he faced in Jerusalem. Everything he was and had already been placed on the altar. It was all sacrificed to the glory of God. Paul had already added up all that he had going for him in his life and determined that following Jesus was the only thing worthwhile. Listen to what he says in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, Paul was arguing against people who said he was not an apostle, that he kind of didn't qualify to be a teacher or a preacher. Paul says this, though I myself have reason for such confidence, if anyone thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from faith that is by God. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. Friends, how are we resting in a surrendered life? Are we like Paul, have realized that there's nothing in our lives that is worthy of God? Every good thing we have, friends, every good thing that we are, is only what God has done in our lives. Listen to how the book of Acts says, our story says, it says, now I know that none of you among me whom I've gone about preaching the gospel will ever see me again. Therefore I declare to you today that I'm innocent of the blood of all men, for I've not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Friends, are we lived a surrendered life? Can we rest in following God's leading? Because, friends, it's only when God leads that life makes sense. There's nothing else. Nothing else in our life, friends. Only as God, only the things God has done through our lives have eternal value. Everything else we have, friends, it's no value. Everything we've collected in life, none of the things that we have, friends, all of those things have got no value other than knowing Christ. But Paul didn't only rest in his surrendered life. He rested in his sanctified legacy. You see, friends, when Paul left a place, he knew the only thing he could do was to commit that place to the Lord. Verse 32 of Acts chapter 20, Paul says, now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Friends, the best thing we can do in the work that we do for Jesus is to give it to God. God's the only one who can turn what we have done to his glory and honor. Friends, that's what Paul did. He gave it all to God. Whatever he had, he served God with all of his heart and all of his soul. He sanctified it by handing it over to God and let God do the work that he had entrusted to Paul. And then finally, friends, Paul rested in the sovereignty of God. Everything was landed over to God. Paul says this, the end of that story says, when he had said this, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that he would never see his face again. Then he accompanied him to the ship. You see, friends, Paul understood the sovereignty of God. He understood that God was in absolute control. It's the best we can do, friends. Just live in the surrender or the sovereignty of God. God knows what he's doing. We don't always see it when we're in the midst of God's leading. We often wonder where God is leading and why he's leading in one particular way. But friends, we need to be led by God. If we're going to be led by God, friends, then we must resolve to follow God's leading. If we're going to be led by God, friends, we must have good reason to follow God's leading. If we're going to be led by God, friends, we must rest in what God is doing. Friends, that's the best way to be led by God. Don't try and lead yourself. It's only when you're led by God, friends, that you can live the kind of life that Paul led. He wasn't afraid of where he was going, because he knew wherever God was leading him was the right place or the right thing to do. So, friend, I encourage you, if you're not waiting upon God to be led by God, it's the best thing to do. Let God lead you where he chooses to take you. Whatever that may be, friends, wherever that may be, let him lead in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, as we rest in what you have for us, thank you that, like the Apostle Paul, Lord, we can take comfort from your Spirit, that he will lead us and guide us into all truth. Thank you that through your Spirit, we can fulfill the calling that you put on our lives. Whatever that may be, Lord, wherever it may be, thank you that your Spirit will not lead us falsely, but help us to be ready and willing to follow where you may lead. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen. Lord bless you through the rest of this day. Amen.